Say chit, a hui out when asked him say a chit. Nath Quinn's a spoken oyster, they not means na, chin hui not aslahan ochomel, to nachin homaltiston ochomel, Nath ta ans hochotmish oath, stalmoch, chit wa hochotmish oath, stalmoch, to nachin las hochotmish tomeo. Eoch tanza quetals teat seats. To on ace to squile teat seats, to on hot squallowins to quis quatch no me up to escaco to no ya. Chit quin man to me up to a to t, heme a to t, chin quin man to me up. So I just want to introduce myself first to my language. It's called Squamish Snechim or Squamish language. I'm from the Squamish people. I also have ancestry to Alert Bay of the Kwakwaka'wakw people, but I was raised in North Vancouver and West Vancouver and all this area. So I'd first like to welcome you all to Squamish and Coast Salish territory. This territory is the unceded territory of the indigenous people of this land, which includes the Khumatskwim, Tsleil-Waututh Oath, and the Squamish Oath. There's three main tribes, nations, peoples that have lived in this territory for thousands of years. And it's shared territory where Vancouver is, since Vancouver is such a large piece of geography. My people are Squamish, otherwise known as Squamish, Squamish being the anglicized version of our actual name. Our territory included on the far end going up to Whistler, Squamish Valley, the House Sound over to Gibson's, and Horseshoe Bay, and then coming over this way to Broad Inlet, Indian Arm, Belcarra, English Bay, Spanish Banks, False Creek. So that's the geographical area of my people's territory. A lot of people don't realize that I say, oh, I'm from Squamish Nation, and I think, oh, you came all the way from Squamish, like the town. I grew up in North Van. And we have about 9 communities in our nation presently. We used to have 25. 3 of those are North Van. So that's, there's one, if you ever, anyone's ever gone over Lionsgate Bridge, heading over to North Van or to Horseshoe Bay or whatever, and you look to the right, there's a bunch of houses, there's a longhouse, there's a field. That place is called Homalchiston, and that's where I grew up, and has been there for thousands of years. Actually, that, you'll see, this is one thing that my friend always tells people, you'll see a large brown building there. It's like a longhouse, that's what we call the longhouse. And one thing that people don't realize is about our existence and what we continue to be as our existence in this territory is that there's ceremonies that go on in that longhouse that predate anything that this society has created, predate the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans. There's things that are still going on in that longhouse today that are thousands of years old that predate the Ice Age. And that's our culture. That's our culture of sustainability, something that we've been carrying on from our ancestors for time immemorial for thousands of years. So I guess on behalf of my people, my ancestors, I welcome you to Squamish territory. And to remind, I do that as a reminder to all of you that you are visitors in this territory, that you are guests in this territory, and that there is indigenous people who come from this territory, but there are settlers too. And that I'm one of 3,500 indigenous people from my nation, and on behalf of, to honor my ancestors, to honor the people that have lived in this land, to recognize and to acknowledge that they existed and that we exist. So on behalf of that meaning, I welcome you to our territory on this day. So that's kind of who I am and my people. It's the first thing that I'll acknowledge is that those are my people and that's where I come from. A bit about me is that I'm a community organizer with my community, language teacher, cultural teacher. I do a lot around new media and digital media. I'm also a media artist, and I do traditional Coast Salish art as well as other things. So I'm what I consider myself an independent creative professional. I do a lot of things, but I also run a blog called liberatedyet.com. Where I've been blogging since 2006 about issues relating to decolonization, indigenous peoples, and some of the local history of this territory. It's a broad perspective, or a broad scope of what I write about on my blog. A lot of it's geared towards my own people, but I also have people from all over reading it and interested in it. So that's kind of, I guess, my background and my people. Part of what we're going to do is we want to provide our perspectives on what decolonization is and how to conceptualize that, or what it looks like, or just as a broad framework to operate under. Decolonization on a broader perspective, which is like a global thing, within groups all around the world, to like African decolonization, South American decolonization, to what I focus on or what I'm looking into is indigenous decolonization. So that's kind of where I'm looking at things from, but it all connects to the same underlying purposes, the same underlying objectives of decolonization, confronting colonialism, both historical stuff, things that just the writing of stories, the writing of history, but also contemporary colonialism that's still existing within both this territory, but also across Canada, the United States, Mexico, South America, all over. So the on that level, if we were to look at colonization and what it really is or what it really achieved, on a really basic level for my people and for Indigenous people, it was really about a fundamental change. It was really just about changing the people, changing the Indigenous people into something else, and also then changing the land and changing our society. It was really about a fundamental change on a really basic level. A lot of that decolonization, how that looked varied. Like within my territory, early colonization happened maybe 150 years ago in Vancouver, more so in the last 100 years, whereas you go across Canada or across North America, it was a lot further back. We're going back hundreds of years in other parts of this place, Turtle Island. Part of it was, I mean, the same type of tactics where they installed their own version of government on our people, wanted to change the people from our practices of living, our society, the way we operated ourselves, to something that was different. One example of that is within traditional Squamish society and generally Northwest Coast Indigenous peoples, a general practice for your place in society was determined by how much you gave of yourself. So how much you gave of yourself to your community determined where you were in your society. The people who gave away the most to themselves were placed higher. Now that's a complete reversal of modern society, the modernity that we have now. Today, society is determined by how much, like your status within the modern society, at least the ideals or the mainstream thought is that the more you have, the more you possess, the higher you are up in society. Right? The more millions of dollars you have, the nicer cars, the bigger houses, the more that you accumulate is your place in society. Whereas in traditional Northwest Coast Indigenous society, it was by how much you gave away. You'd give away your property, you'd give away your gifts, you'd give away your time, your knowledge. It was all about giving. It was about distributing. So that's a cultural practice that completely changed because colonization came in to change that. It came in to change our connection to the land. We were placed on reserves, installed a new foreign government, which continues to exist today across Canada under the Indian Act with band councils. So a lot of that is the direct physical parts of colonization with my people and with Indigenous people in Canada. Really, colonialism is about the presumed assumption of the settler's power over something else, over the land, over Indigenous people, over something else. It's the presumed power of that. So decolonization on a side of it is to confront that perspective, to confront that assumption. And that assumption plays out in a lot of frameworks within legal avenues, like the Indian Act, where it was the settler state presuming power over the Indigenous people, saying that you are wards of the Canadian government, we are taking your lands, we are taking your culture, we are taking it all away. So it was that presumed power. Decolonization and then becomes about confronting that power. I mean, I remember one time I was doing this survey, and it was really weird because it was a survey that was, I think it was about urban Aboriginal youth across Canada and about their perspectives and something. And somebody asked me, like, what are some of my goals as a young Indigenous person for our people? And I gave an answer like decolonization, and I got a response back like, don't you, the interviewer was asking me, and I knew the person. She said, wouldn't you rather say retribalization instead of decolonization? Because decolonization is such a negative connotation, because it's de something. Why don't you say retribalization? I'm like, I don't even know what retribalization is, for one thing. But it's not just this perspective of turning our decolonization isn't just about turning indigenous people back to what we were. It's not about taking the clock and moving the hands around and around and around. It's not about that. It's not just reversal of time. It's not just that we're going to go back to hunting and fishing, living in longhouses all together, and live as this presumed utopian society within all this modernity that's now taking over our land. Like, that might not ever happen. I never grew up living off the land. My children won't be able to. My grandchildren won't be able to, because there's shipping tanks going through the Burrard Inlet, because all the fish and sea life has been destroyed in this territory. And any ounce of it left is really, like, really hard to come by. So even on a realistic level, that's not even possible to go back to that. But decolonization isn't really about turning back the hands of time. It's really about looking at what colonialism has done to this society, has really done to this land, to what has been created as a way to exploit, as a way to consume, as a way to conquer. So decolonization is about confronting that, but really about changing ourselves, like how colonization has changed us already. Changing ourselves and our people, our families, our communities into something that is different from that. And for Indigenous people, we have the presented opportunity that change means revitalizing our practices, our traditions, our way of life. That means organizing ourselves as our ancestors did. That means making decisions like how our ancestors did. That means rebuilding that connection that has been severed because of colonization, with things like residential school, the 60 scoop, where they took away Aboriginal children and put them into care in the province, which, as a side note, oddly enough, there's more kids in provincial care presently than the 60 scoop, for those of you that know what the 60 scoop is, and residential school combined. Presently, there's more Aboriginal kids in care than both of those combined now. So you can see how these types of things, where this idea of changing Aboriginal people or Indigenous people, is still present for my people and for myself. So decolonization becomes about changing ourselves, both on an individual level, like someone mentioned intellect, on an individual level, because it'll have to begin with me, and then going expanding it further. So that's I guess the idea or the notion that I operate under for what I want to achieve within my community, what I want to achieve for my family and my people. The way that it plays into, I guess, if we were to look at the media and how it connects to that, as you look at, if we were to put that in this box and to look at what the media is, the media for me on a very little, small level is the distribution of information, the communication to whoever. And that has definitely, like, as most of you will probably acknowledge, that has changed over the last 10, 15 years. That has changed dramatically over the last 15 years, how that communication happens. Where it was something where, like, very basic to just, I create the content, you receive it. And that's the extended relationship, where now things are developing where that relationship is changing, where it becomes both are producers and receivers of information, and things are changing that way. So within the media, though, within that, a lot of that same presumption of settler power, within that same assumption of colonial control, a lot of the ignorances and lies, both, like I said, on a historical level, things that exist within history about Indigenous people, to present day things. So then you see it play out through the media on the mainstream level. A way to decolonize the media is then as one avenue or one tactic of that is to confront that, the same way we confront any other kinds of colonialism as decolonization. So a lot of that plays out within the media, a lot of those colonial views, a lot of the colonial practices, then it looks at how we can confront that and rebuild or reestablish a decolonized place. Maybe it's as in solidarity between settlers and indigenous people, which is definitely needed, but it is also in other areas. So that's part of what I'm interested in. That's part of what I'm working towards. But it looks at how we can confront colonialism as decolonization within that kind of framework that I talked about. So.